people, what's good? You already know who it is, and if you don't know who it is, it's your man Leon Benson, aka Leon Genesis, aka your mom's favorite personal trainer, aka Let's Get It, aka Let's Work, aka Always Working, aka Theatrice Thompson in the building. What it do? We back at it again, man. This is episode 114, season 3 of the Passion, Purpose, Perspective podcast by yours truly. We out here, we working. It's Sunday fun day, August 28th, 2022. So let's get into it because I got a lot to talk about, but I'm going to try to make it brief. So quickly, today I trained 3 times a week now. I used to train 7 days a week. By the way, we're going into the fitness portion of today's episode, and then from there we will segue into finance. But first and foremost, health is wealth. You can't have wealth without health, you feel me? But yeah, going back to my own personal training. So today I did a little training on the assault bike, and then I did some weight training. Probably, I don't know, about 20, 25 minutes perhaps, maybe a little longer. And then I did a 3.88 mile run. My pace was 8 minutes and 57 seconds per mile. Unfortunately, I'm extremely sore and I've got some minor nicks and injuries. So I've been pulling back on my running a lot. Because I was going pretty hard the last couple weeks. So I guess I got to scale it back for a while until the injuries subside and just go from there. But anyway, last episode, we talked about strategic exercise, and then we also broke down stock market algorithms. So if you want to go back into the feed, you can check out episode 113 to get all of the details on that. Today's episode, I first want to discuss rest in between sets, and then I want to talk about, in the world of finance, how the Federal Reserve crushed the markets, or crashed the markets, whichever one sounds cooler to you. But anyway, first and foremost, rest in between sets. So, found an article online by Mark Barrasso via bodybuilding.com, which kind of broke down all of the intricate details about rest periods. We're going to get into that. But pretty much, I've had clients in the past that would ask me, like, how long should I take rest in between sets? When I've done online programs for people, I automatically would put in certain rest periods, which, honestly, not always the greatest idea because every person is at a different level of fitness. For newer individuals, unfortunately, they're just going to need more time to rest in between sets because they're just not used to the workload at the beginning of their journeys. Other people are more experienced, so they can take longer rest breaks, or they just know how to manage their energy even if they have shorter rest periods. So yeah, honestly, resting in between sets depends on a lot of different things. It depends on your personal goals, whether you're trying to build muscle, whether you're trying to just burn body fat, whether you're trying to increase your strength. And then, of course, like I said, it depends on your experience level. And it also depends on your nutrition, what you're eating before the gym, after the gym, and just throughout the day in general, just to stay, you know, fueled, hydrated, so that you can perform the way that you need to perform. So, according to Essentials of Strength Training and Conditioning by the National Strength and Conditioning Association, there's various amounts of rest that you can take in between sets. So, number one, to increase your strength and power, you should rest 2 to 5 minutes in between each set. Number two, to increase hypertrophy, aka muscle growth, you should be resting 30 to 90 seconds in between sets. Number three, to increase muscular endurance, you should be resting 30 seconds or less in between sets. And again, this all depends on the intensity, and it depends on the duration of the exercises. So going into the more detailed aspects of there's actual systems that facilitate these rest periods. So we'll get into those. There's three of them. Now, the first system is the phosphagen system. This contributes most of the energy. It provides ATP or adenosine triphosphate, such a hard thing to say for me, which your body uses for muscular activity that is short duration, so up to 30 seconds. Again, this is the phosphagen system, contributes to most of your energy, and it provides ATP, which your body uses for muscular activity, again, that is short duration, up to 30 seconds. The second system is the glycolytic system. This system is used for exercises lasting more than 30 seconds or up to 2 minutes. This system breaks down glycogen, which is made up of glucose or sugar that comes from carbohydrates. And then number three, in certain foods, number three is the oxidative system. It is used at 2 to 3 minutes of training. So still using some of the glycolytic system, the oxidative system uses carbs and fats, and as a last resort, it uses protein for energy. So examples of its use is a 1 mile run. And basically, optimum levels of food intake and electrolytes are key for hydrating to prevent early fatigue. So that was a more complicated version of it, and I just wanted to kind of give you guys that spiel real quick. But simply put, there's a few ways that you can do your rest periods, and again, it's going to depend on the type of exercises you're doing and how long you're doing each exercise. So once again, if you're in the gym and you're trying to get stronger, you're trying to build strength, you're trying to increase your amount of power that you bring, in regards to, let's say, powerlifting, you want to be resting 2 to 5 minutes in between sets. That is going to give your body and your muscles the time to fully recover so that when you train again, you'll be able to perform your lifts at the maximum effort. Because again, you'll take that 2 to 5 minutes to allow your muscles and your body to recoup and recover. Now, if you're in a gym and you're trying to actually grow muscle, develop new muscle tissue over time, which obviously takes an extremely long time to do, you want to be resting 30 to 90 seconds, which again, that is going to give your body enough time to recoup and recover enough to where when you perform the next set in the gym, or at the crib, if you got weights at the crib, you'll be able to perform at the most optimum level, giving the maximum effort for each rep, for each set. And then if you're trying to just increase your muscular endurance, let's say you want to be able to, instead of just performing 10 reps for a bench press, you want to work your way up to 20 reps on the bench press. So in order to do that, your rest periods in between each set should be 30 seconds or less, because again, it's going to, in this case, it's going to actually push your body and push your muscles to work harder, in order to keep up with the workload that you're putting on your body, with the stimulus and the stress that you're putting on your muscles. So kind of similar to like running, the more you run, the more you're going to need energy. You're going to need to utilize the nutrients and the food that you consume. But to do that, you have to push your body past its current threshold. So in terms of muscular endurance, you're not going to have as much rest in between sets. So yeah, man, for me personally, I'm not going to lie, I do not monitor my rest periods. I'm not super just meticulous about it. I do a lot of circuit training, so I'll go from one exercise to the next if I'm doing weight training, or as I mentioned earlier, as far as my personal workout, I'll do the assault bike And then I'll go back and forth between the assault bike and I'll do some weight training, just some light dumbbell work. And I'll go back and forth. Once I start to fatigue a little bit, I increase my rest periods, because for me, I'm more focused on muscular endurance, being able to do longer duration movements, like work out for longer periods of time with minimal rest in between. So I'm into the muscular endurance aspects of rest periods in between sets. But again, it's going to be different for everybody. And another thing too that surprised me about this article was just, it didn't mention, it really didn't mention like the 1 minute rest. Usually people will say like, oh, rest for 1 minute in between sets for all the different types of weight training or body weight training exercises. But this was very specific. 2 to 5 minutes if you're trying to increase strength and power. 30 to 90 seconds if you're trying to actually build and develop muscular growth, muscular tissue. And then 30 seconds or less if you're trying to build muscular endurance. But yeah, like I said, I've seen a lot of trainers, or I've heard a lot of trainers say, you know, take a minute rest or 60 second rest. And it's just like, that might not be optimal for each individual. It's going to be different, again, depending on your goals, depending on your nutrition, depending on your programming, depending on what you're trying to get out of that workout. And it's going to depend on your fitness level, your current experience level in regards to training, how you train, if it's your first month training, if it's your first 6 months, if it's your first couple of years in the gym. It's going to be different for everybody. And of course, your body's going to adapt to these various rest periods and just the various amounts of intensity that you're bringing to each workout. But yeah, man, like I said, for me, I don't really track the rest periods in between sets. I've been training for what, over 20 years now, so for me, I know my body. I know my work capacity. I know how fast I can recover in between sets, as far as like resistance training or weight training. So I don't have a timer or any of that. But like I said, when I used to go to the gym, I would see people in the gym. They would be timing their rest periods in between, because again, they're trying to get the most optimum level of you know, just work rate capacity, but also they're trying to really implement, you know, the best strategy to get the very best results that they possibly can, because maybe they have more of just a dialed in scientific approach to things. But that ain't me. I'm not going front. That ain't me. If I feel like I'm super duper tired, I'll take longer than I normally take. If I feel like I'm good to go, I'm going to get right back into the workout. I'm going to get right back into the next set or the next rep. And it really depends, because some days I'm way more fatigued than other days. So like I said, I might take a longer rest period. But it, again, it's different for everybody. This is for those individuals who really want like precise time. Like, how much time should I take? I'm going to time it. I'm going to put the clock on that joint. And when I'm done doing this rep or I'm done doing this set, I'm going to hit the timer. I'm going to rest for that period of time, whether it's 2 to 5 minutes, whether it's 30 to 90 seconds, or whether it's less than 30 seconds. And then I'm going to get right back into it. So yeah, it's really going to be different for every single person. And even if you look at like, you can watch videos of like, for example, you can watch videos of powerlifters. If you notice, they'll go super duper hard, you know, damn near 85% of their one rep max on a lift. Maybe they'll do, you know, 3 to 5 reps, but then they're chilling on the phone, you know, I don't know, whatever they're doing, making a post or, you know, just tracking their progress or whatever they're doing, or just literally waiting around. And you're like looking like, yo, why is this person slacking? Like, why aren't they working out? Well, if you're trying to increase your strength and power, it's ideal to rest between 2 to 5 minutes in between sets. So that way, when you go to perform the next lift, you can perform at the highest level and bring the most intensity, so that you're maximizing your ability to build more strength and build more power, because you will not be extremely fatigued. When you are fatigued and you're trying to push through training, that's when you start getting injuries, and that's when you start, you know, using momentum and like swinging the weights if you're doing weight training. And you don't want to do that because, one, it's messing up your form. Two, it's going to cause injuries. And three, you're not going to be able to develop the muscle to its maximum capacity to get the best results. And again, that's just another example, but there are various examples for all of these different types of rest periods. So even looking at, you know, like, for example, runners. Now, their rest periods is probably going to be way different. I'm a runner, but again, I'm a non-traditional runner. So maybe if you're doing, like, if you're at a track, an official track, and you do like 400 meter runs, maybe obviously you're looking at maybe a minute running around, unless you're a little bit slower, maybe like 2 minutes it takes you to run or do a 400 meter run. But then your rest period in between that first run and the next run, it might have to be 5 minutes. It might have to be longer than that, because again, you want your body to be able to restore its glycogen stores. You want it to be able to be performing at maximum levels. Your body has different systems and energy reserves that it uses. It builds them up. And then when you're training and you're giving out, you know, maximum effort, or, you know, 75% of your effort or 85% of your effort, you're burning down those glycogen stores. You're burning down those energy reserves. So you need the time for your body to recoup, to rest, recover enough to where when you go back and you do that second 400 meter run, or if you're in the gym and you're weight training, you want to give your body enough rest so that you can perform at the maximum level. So that's the whole idea behind, you know, resting in between sets and why it's important to do that. And if you need to, you can track it. Obviously, you can use your iPhone or whatever phone you have, or you can use your smartwatch to track how much rest you're taking in between sets if you're really trying to get the maximum amount of results out of your training. So yeah, man, that's just my spiel on that. And yeah, if you enjoyed that portion of today's episode, make sure you download, rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. We got more episodes on the way. Now, I want to get into some things that are a little more interesting to me, and that is the world of finance. It's been crazy. It's been wild. It's been interesting. It's been fun. So, specifically, I want to talk about, of course, the Federal Reserve and their impact on the stock market and what's been happening as of late. So in the beginning of the year, first quarter, in terms of our production as a country, or in terms of our output, we had a decline. We had a decline in gross domestic product, aka GDP. Second quarter comes around, same thing. We have another decline in the gross domestic product, or GDP. In a technical sense, that is classified as a recession. But Federal Reserve, as well as various financial analysts, as well as the National Bureau of Economic Research, they are hell-bent on saying, no, we are not in a recession just because there were two quarters of negative GDP growth. There are other lagging indicators that these various politicians and bureaucrats look at in order to truly define a recession. Because again, that was something that everybody was freaking out about in the beginning of the year. And I mean, let's be frank, we're still kind of panicking about the odds of going into a recession. Nobody really knows when it's going to occur, or if it will occur at all this year. But we really don't know. But there seems to be, if you're looking at economic data, and if you're looking at specifically what the Federal Reserve has to do and what they have been doing, it's finna get butt ugly out in these streets from an economic perspective. Just to kind of give you guys some slang. So yeah, I just kind of want to give a perspective on, you know, the Fed's mandate, what they're supposed to do, but more specifically, why what they do, why it causes markets to rally and swing to the upside significantly, or to just go into a complete downward spiral significantly. So looking more specifically at the S&P 500 at the close on Friday, this past Friday, it was at 4,057.66, which is approximately 15.79% or roughly 16% off of its January highs of 48.18.62. So, yeah, we're still in, well, we're in corrective territory, but essentially, we're still in a bear market. Because again, if we go back to, what was it? Oh man, I think it was like, it was either March or May that we went into an official bear market where the S&P 500 was, 20% below its 52-week high. But anyway, ever since that happened, we've just been swinging way up and swinging way down and swinging way up and swinging way down. So that's just been occurring. And that's a normal occurrence when we go into bear markets. So in terms of historical data, there are things called bear market rallies, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, but basically they're during economic downturns over longer durations of time, the market will swing to the upside, you know, 3-4% in a day, which is insane. But then it'll swing right back down, go into a downward trend, same thing, 2-4% in a day or in a week or over the course of a month or over the course of a quarter. And it continues to happen. And historically, we actually get the biggest increases in stock market value during bear market rallies. So that is something that can throw retail investors off, you know, substantially. But I don't want to go too much on a tangent, so let me get back to the specific topic, which is the Federal Reserve's impact on the stock market as of late. So again, the S&P 500 at the close on Friday was 4,057.66, so 15, well over 15% below January highs. So yeah, we're still in negative territory. Now, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell gave a short speech at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium in Wyoming. He discussed briefly, this was a very short speech, but he discussed the current economic conditions, specifically high inflation. So inflation, simply put, is the rise of prices for goods and services. Inflation affects businesses, both big and small, as well as consumers, poor, middle class, as well as wealthy, but it affects the former more significantly than the latter, meaning it affects the poor and middle class way more than it affects wealthy individuals as far as like price increases for goods and services. Now, the Federal Reserve, which is the central banks of America who control and try to manage the money, the monetary policy, the money going in and out of the economy, their job is to keep inflation steady, aka their job is to create price stability. Now, their target interest rate for things to be stable, for things to be hunky-dory, for people to be making money and having jobs and not struggling, their target rate is 2%. 2%. And inflation right now, at the last reading, was 8.5%. So we are 6.5% away from price stability, according to the Federal Reserve and various other bureaucrats and politicians, but specifically the Federal Reserve, because it's their job to create price stability for the economy. Now, the Fed has already raised interest rates several times this year. Last year, they thought inflation was not really an issue. They thought it was going to go away. They kept saying that it was transitory. That ended up not being the case. And at the time, personally, I was tracking inflation a little bit because it was coming up in some of my research and analysis of financial markets. And it was around like 5 or 5.5%. Then it got to like 7 to 7.5% or some crazy. It just kept going up. It just kept increasing, 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 increasing. And then the conversation changed in terms of the Federal Reserve and what they, you know, what they failed to do, and now what they're needing to do because of this issue. So going back to my notes here, again, they thought inflation was not going to be a problem. Now they say that getting inflation under control is their main focus, even if it means more economic pain for businesses and everyday Americans. So now, when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, it makes the cost of money, aka borrowing, more expensive for businesses that use debt instruments to fund daily operations. It also makes it more expensive to get personal loans, mortgages, student loans, credit cards, etc. Now, when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, it discourages consumer and business spending, which causes prices to eventually fall over time. Because again, people, they just won't be able to afford goods and services. So they'll cut back their spending, or they'll buy generic products completely. And some people, unfortunately, will just get completely priced out. And that's terrible, obviously. So the unfortunate issue is that there's a lag between incoming data, interest rate hikes, consumer expectations, as well as investor sentiment. So a part of what the Federal Reserve is doing is, again, they're managing monetary policy. They're trying to get things under control. They're trying to maintain price stability, as I've mentioned earlier. Now, they like to look at data. They look at the numbers and the information that comes out. That information doesn't come out all day, every day, 7 days a week. There's a lag. They have to wait for everything to be tallied up, however it's tallied up. I have yet to look at, you know, their process as far as like who collects the data and gets it to them. But it takes time for these numbers and projections to come out. So because of that, there's damage being done in between. So, of course, you get people blaming the Federal Reserve for, you know, higher interest rates, or just the economic pain that people are experiencing right now through higher prices, through higher borrowing costs. But I've said it in social media posts before. I've probably said it in previous episodes. How else is the Federal Reserve supposed to do this? They have to wait for the data to come in order to know, do we raise rates or do we cut rates? Or do we just stay right where we're at? Because if we don't do enough, we're behind. If we do too much, that's going to cause an economic recession and more pain for more people. AKA, they're going to end up breaking the economy, for lack of a better term. Now, going back to my notes here, there's all types of issues that occur from an economic perspective, from a psychological perspective, from a consumer's perspective, and also from a stock investor's perspective. So there's other things that affect all of this. When the Federal Reserve increases interest rates, it also puts downward pressure on stock prices. So when interest rates increase, this causes businesses to have to pay more money to borrow in order to stay in business. Businesses don't want to use all of their cash on hand to fund daily operations to stay in business. So they borrow debt securities. They borrow things like treasury securities, treasury bonds, and treasury bills. Some of these are short term, some of these are long term. They also engage in different interest rate swaps. So the issue that businesses have when this happens, or when interest rates increase, that means that some of these loans and some of these debt securities that these businesses are utilizing to fund their daily operations increases. And some of these debts And some of these bonds, treasury bonds, treasury bills, and some of these debt obligations that these businesses borrow, they have expiration dates or they have maturity dates. In the case of bonds, they'll have a maturity date. So they'll borrow money for, you know, 12 months or, you know, 18 months or 26 months, or they'll borrow money for 5 years or 10 years. It just depends on what debt securities they use, what debt instruments they use. And unfortunately, when interest rates increase, their payments become higher. So again, that puts more downward pressure on businesses. And what are the businesses going to do? Well, they need to pay back those bonds. They need to pay back those loans that they took out. So one thing that they do is increase the prices of their goods and services. And they relay or they transfer those added costs that they have onto consumers like you and me. So now we're paying, you know, let's just go with the inflation rate right now. We're paying 8.5% more for our everyday products, food, gas, you know, utilities, mortgage payments, whatever the case may be. Obviously, it's very different in terms of like the minute details in each industry, with each product, with each good, with each service. But yeah, that is what's happening in the economy right now. So that's why we're getting this economic downturn that shows up in the stock market. And it's very significant as of late. Again, because the Federal Reserve increased the Fed funds rate. So I want to finish off my notes here really quickly. So basically, when interest rates increase, investors become extremely pessimistic about the economic outlook. So what they'll end up doing is, and this goes for institutional investors as well, they'll sell large portions of stock, causing downward trends, just, you know, extreme losses in people's portfolios. On top of that, the money that they borrow, the money that businesses borrow, it's costing them more. So again, some of them are defaulting on some of the money that they borrow because it's just too expensive for them to pay it back. So now, again, it just gets priced in to what consumers are buying. Now, another issue is what the Federal Reserve says they will do or won't do via forward guidance also causes investors to buy or sell large positions in their portfolios, which is why you sometimes see major swings in short-term prices, aka volatility. So, and I've mentioned in episode 112, I've talked about forward guidance. Now, it's a tactic or a strategy or a tool that the Federal Reserve uses, especially during a recession, in order to combat inflation and also in order to stabilize prices, because that's part of what they're trying to do. But they're also trying to have maximum employment as well without the whole recessionary, you know, outcome. But times like right now that we're in 2022, it's very unfortunate, but there's not much that they can do because they were behind the curve. They made all of these goofy ass decisions, or they just were not paying attention to what was happening as far as the pandemic, as far as stimulus checks and what that did and bailing out corporations. And it spiraled out of control. Now we're here with, you know, goods and services 8.5% higher than what they were. People are getting priced out in terms of their what they can afford to pay for on a daily basis. So this is why the Federal Reserve is coming in and saying, look, we're going to fight inflation no matter what. We're going to continue to increase the federal funds rate until inflation comes down. And I've mentioned it before, but they want their target interest rate to be 2%. We are at 8.5%. It could take an extremely long time to get to 2%, especially if you have to continue to raise the cost of borrowing money. That's going to be painful for a majority of individuals. Now, what is this interest rate that the Federal Reserve increases or decreases over time in order to generate price stabilization and maximum employment? It's the federal funds rate. Now, this is the rate that they charge commercial banks for overnight loans to each other. So banks, they have reserve requirements. They're supposed to keep a certain amount of money in those safes at all times in order to fulfill, you know, withdrawals and deposits for everyday customers. So when the Federal Reserve raises that federal funds rate, guess what happens? It puts downward pressure on these commercial banks. So now these commercial banks are like, yo, it's costing us a lot of money to keep cash at our banks. We need to raise our interest rates that we charge for personal loans and for mortgages to everyday customers so that we can actually make back money, or we can actually afford to pay off, you know, the rate that we're paying because it's too much. So as you can kind of tell by this breakdown, a lot of shit goes into, you know, the Federal Reserve increasing or decreasing interest rates. And again, it causes a lot of misfortune over time, depending on the situation. And right now we're in a situation where it's ugly. It is ugly. They can keep saying that we're not in a recession all they want. Regardless, they may or may not increase interest rates in September. I believe what? It's like the last week of September, I believe, is the next FOMC meeting, which is where they get together and they talk about the state of the economy, and they decide either we're going to increase interest rates, or we're going to decrease interest rates or cut them, or we're not going to do anything because, you know, economic data suggests whatever the current situation may or may not be at that time. So yeah, we've got a ways to go as far as bringing down 8.5% inflation. So once again, when the Federal Reserve increases interest rates, it discourages investors, specifically when it comes to the stock market. This is why right now you saw a huge, you know, just a huge downward spiral in your stock portfolio. It isn't necessarily because the companies that you own suck, or that they're losing money, or that they're a trash company or whatever. A lot of it right now is because the Fed is tightening monetary conditions. They are tightening. They're taking liquidity out of the system, and they are raising the cost of money. If you're borrowing money right now, it is extremely expensive to do so because the Federal Reserve has increased interest rates, and they're going to continue to increase interest rates because, again, it's going to discourage spending. And if it does that, at some point, businesses are going to have to pull back and lower or decrease their prices for goods and services because people are going to stop spending as much money. So over time, things start to go on sale, things start to go on discount. That is going to encourage more spending via the consumer. Another thing is, like I mentioned earlier, businesses that borrow money to fund their daily operations, when if those interest rates start getting cut, that is going to encourage them, of course, to borrow more money at some point. So it's just, it's a never-ending cycle. When you really start to think about it, it's a never-ending cycle, you know, which is why we're always up and down all over the place. But in regards to understanding, like, I could have made this an extremely short episode and just said, you know, one or two sentences of you know, just how to explain this. But basically, simply put, again, why on Friday did the stock market just completely go into a downward spiral? You know, damn near what? The market was down, I don't know, at least the S&P was down damn near what? Well over 3%. Why did that happen? A part of it was because the central banks of America, once again, Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve, they decided that they're going to continue to increase the cost of borrowing money. They're going to increase the cost of capital. And investors do not like that. So they get discouraged, they get fearful, and they get pessimistic. So they sell their investments. And again, if enough retail investors and enough institutional investors sell stock at the same time, you're gonna see huge swings to the downside. So that's where you're getting those crazy dips in your portfolio. Because again, the Federal Reserve, you know, they talking that talk and they starting to walk that walk. They like, look, we not playing games no more. We at 8.5% inflation. We tired of it. We finna turn up on this interest rate. We finna increase the Fed funds rate. And we gonna do y'all dirty. We gotta do what we gotta do. It's gonna discourage markets. It's gonna cause unemployment to increase at some point, but we don't care because we need price stabilization. Because if we don't have price stabilization, inflation is gonna run away and we're gonna completely lose control of the economy and the monetary policy. So that's what we're seeing happening in real time. And I talk about this because these are things that I did not understand when I first got involved in, just managing money on my own behalf. Because again, people just buy stocks because they hear that, oh, this stock is cool, or this stock is, you know, going up in value, or, you know, whatever. Everybody got this stock, so we're just going to buy this stock. It's like, no, you're buying a piece of corporate profits. You become a business owner via the stock market. So you need to look at yourself as a business owner, and you need to understand what the hell is happening in your portfolio. You know, whether you're making a bunch of money in the market or whether you're losing a bunch of money, you want to understand why that's happening. Is the business lacking in its fundamentals? Are the fundamentals just terrible, or is there a downward trend? Are the profit margins getting squeezed? Is the cost of goods increasing? Is the inventory increasing? Or is the business doing well and making money? You know, or is it something political, or is it something that is, fiscal or monetary? Which, again, going back to our discussion today, does it have anything to do with the Federal Reserve and their mandate and what they're doing? Because if so, that's why you're going to see sometimes crazy ass volatility within your portfolio. It's not necessarily because you're doing something wrong or doing something right. It's all intertwined. And honestly, the Federal Reserve, they really know. Well, they don't. I wouldn't say they really know how, but, you know, when push comes to shove, they know how to get things cracking in regards to, you know, look, this is what we're thinking we need to do because of this economic data. So we're going to start doing it. And now they're doing it. And that's why you're seeing the constant volatility, the up and down in the stock market. Because again, it's putting pressure on all of us because the cost of money is increasing, because that is going to drive down the higher prices that we're paying for goods and services. And the Federal Reserve is in control of increasing or decreasing the cost of borrowing money. So yeah, man, honestly, I know that was a lot of information, but look, you can pause, you can rewind, you could take notes, do whatever you gotta do. If you found any of this information useful, make sure you download, rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast for more episodes. But before I end it here, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I don't know anything about anything. Do not listen to me. This is just for educational and entertainment purposes only. You gotta conduct your own research. Don't be lazy. Conduct your own research, man. I said it on Instagram the other day. Please conduct your own research. Do not be lazy. When I talk to people about investing, they have very ignorant questions because they don't understand what they're doing, because they don't want to put the work in. But anyway, man, I don't want to go on a tangent because, yeah, I'm not trying to be spazzing out on y'all. Anyway, man, yeah, next episode. So next Sunday, the next episode, we're going to talk about how to find stocks to buy, because I did a small poll on my Instagram story. And there was 100% votes on what people preferred, which was how to find stocks to buy. Everybody doesn't know where to find stocks that they want to buy and put in their portfolios and invest in. But anyway, that'll be an interesting episode, and I think it'll be very useful to the everyday average retail investors. So we're definitely going to talk about that. Once again, episode 115 will be coming out next Sunday, and we'll be talking about how to find stocks to buy if you're unsure where to look, what resources to use. But anyway, the Federal Reserve, they're dugging right now. Like, they're going ham because, yeah, some of this economic data, they're getting what they need. They're getting what they want. But unfortunately, they are probably going to continue to raise interest rates. And again, like I said, man, it's going to just create more downward pressure on businesses and consumers alike. And it's especially going to affect the stock market because investors, they can't stand it when interest rates increase. But all of that, it just gives you a better understanding of what's going on in the economy and how it affects your portfolio. So with all of that being said, I'm finna get up out of here, man, because I got some more research to do before the day is over. And then I got to have some dinner, man. Like I said, man, if you got anything useful out of this information and out of this episode, make sure you download, rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. We got more episodes on the way. Make sure you tune in next Sunday for how to find stocks to buy. All right? So with that being said, you already know who it is. I'm not going to say it again. I'm out.